Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Good day to you once again, Mr. Grant.
Thank you. It's great to be back into the studio.
Good to
as
see
always.
You. And hey, you brought along a friend this week.
I did. I have with me Barry Kenny, and Barry is an employee with us at Planning with Purpose. It does a huge function. So, Barry, thanks for joining on today.
Hello, Paul and Mark. Good to be here.
Good to see you.
And just as a way of introduction, why don't we give Barry a quick moment to say hello. And Barry, why don't you tell the listeners what you do at the law office and some of your function around good estate planning?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and my job is to assist with the process of a trust, building a trust. And I'm officially called a funding manager, and what that really means is when you go through the process of building a trust, your assets need to be named to that trust and owned by the trust, except for those personal assets like your retirement accounts and your life insurance policies. And in those cases, we have to work with beneficiaries and changing that to reflect the trust as well. And in that, there's some work that I get to do with the clients. I appreciate that. I get to work with a lot of the institutions that do the investments and have the properties. And it's kind of fun to be in the middle. I'm a project manager by certification and trade and skill, and I think that's what I bring to the firm, is those organizational skills of working in the middle and being the conduit between the investment community and the clients.
Yeah, definitely a huge part of your skill set and just who you are as an individual, which is really connecting people, being able to draw that line and get them to the right conclusion in a really smooth type of process. And so Barry does our funding, as he said, and is a huge integral part of creating an estate plan that will actually work for a client. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, is how do we make an estate plan that actually functions and works properly? And we're going to take a little bit of a different approach here today between us. Usually Mark's the one asking me the questions, but I'm going to turn this around, and actually I'm going to be the one to be asking the questions here today, kind of taking the lead. And what the design of today's show really is to discuss what are the things that could go wrong in an estate plan. And so one of the highest values that I have clients talk to me about, and maybe the highest value of almost every single client, as a matter of fact, I have 100% of my clients say that this one thing is a high value, if not their highest value. And so would either of you like to take a stab at what that might be? So what is 100% of clients saying this is the most important thing that I want to do with an estate plan?
Leave a legacy of faith for the kids.
Okay, yep, leaving a legacy.
Protect everything that I've accumulated.
Protect. And so both of those are absolutely correct answers, but here is the one thing that everyone says that they want. The one thing that they want is a smooth, easy transition for those that they leave behind. And so what we want to talk about is that if a smooth transition is really the ultimate goal that absolutely every single person I've ever sat down with says this is the key issue, then let's talk about, on the reverse side, some things that could go wrong and interrupt that main goal. And so So first of all, a smooth transition. Let's define that a little bit, at least from what I hear from clients. It's not from the estate planning side. So understand my thought process as the attorney in what I imagine creating a smooth transition is very different than what a client's perspective is. Now, a client's perspective, at least from what I gather and from what I hear, is that we don't want to leave a mess. So really what that means from a client's perspective that I have seen is I want to make sure, A, that things happen quickly. Okay. And then number two, one of the bigger issues, as you gentlemen might understand, as the listeners may also relate to, is I really don't want my kids fighting over stuff. So I don't want the family to get interrupted and or destroyed over the process of saying who gets what, and this is the design of what I've created. So therefore, if a smooth transition is one of the highest values clients have coming to the table, then let's talk about things that could interrupt this smooth transition for them, okay? So let's take a just an open discussion, and we'll kind of talk about it between the three of us as a starting point. So, and we've discussed these things in the past on the radio show, so there's other podcasts, and they're at legacyandfaith.com. So you can go back and listen to some of these things, but let's take them just as an open conversation. From your guys' perspective, just off the top of your heads, what are some of the things that could go wrong in an estate plan? In other words, that would destroy a smooth transition or not make a plan work exactly right?
You're already assuming that there's a plan.
Oh, very good one. Yes.
So, it would be a very bad transition if there wasn't a plan.
Which is, you said, as you said in previous shows, that's the almost the main problem.
Yeah.
No plan.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, I have that down on my list as number one, yeah. Which is the number one problem. Problem is that 50% of Americans who are 65 or older have no plan whatsoever.
No will.
Nothing. No will, no trust, no powers of attorney, no end of life documents. And so you're absolutely correct, Barry, that if there is nothing that directs what I want done with my belongings, then guess who the next voice is? The next voice is the law. And the law has already predetermined exactly what will happen when you elect to not use your voice. And from my seat, what I hear a lot is, well, I don't want the government to get stuff. I don't want to pay more taxes than what I've already paid. I don't want the government to intervene on what I want done. Well, if that is true, then you've got to start with a plan. So that is key issue number one, is that if you do not have a plan, you need a plan. And a plan is either a will or a trust. That's the disposition documents. But you need every other document under that as well, which are all your powers of attorney, your health care power of attorney, your financial power of attorney, end of life document. All of these together create a healthy plan, because there's two times when you need a plan. Number one is if you're ever experiencing a time of incapacitation. Now, I use the word disability because I don't like just incapacitation. It denotes just that I'm not thinking properly. But I've had clients pass away to where for months they struggle physically. They can't write checks. They're unable to really manage their life on a physical basis, but they clearly have their mental capacities. So that could mean that your plan needs to be engaged to assist you at that period of time. So I use the word disabled versus incapacitation. So that would be the first time when you need a plan. And as a matter of fact, we often miss that specific issue, which is that I might need a plan during my lifetime versus we naturally think of estate planning, quote unquote, as a death document of this is what happens when I die. Make sure my kids get it and make sure they don't fight for me, please. So really, plans are twofold. Number one, during our life to make sure we're safe. Number two, at passing away to make sure that there is a smooth, easy transition at the end of our lifetime and it's handed off well. So no plan is a key component. So other thoughts?
You know what? Last Thanksgiving at my family sitting around the table, I told them what I wanted. Why don't I just do it myself? I mean, there's no reason. I can tell them, shoot, I want, if this happens to me, I want to be taken care of. I want to being in assisted living, whatever, that works, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't that a great Thanksgiving discussion? So, that you've been around me for way too long, Barry. So, but by the way, for listeners, I've known Barry for 23. I think we've worked 23 or 24 years in our relationship, and have had so you've been around me way, way too long. But yes, you're absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest gaps in estate planning is communication between the creators and the next generation. As a matter of fact, as a kind of a precursor here, that will be a huge part of our next show, believe it or not, is that gap of how do we communicate and what are the weaknesses of actually inheriting an estate versus from the creator's perspective, which is, I've done the document. And so let me say something very quickly. A document is not going to be your saving grace in estate planning. A document can't magically stand up on the table once you die and start dancing and performing all the work. Someone has to take that document, interpret it, and then actually accomplish the vision and the goals that you had within that document. So a document's not the solution. It is a part of what needs to be created, but it isn't the end-all be-all, which is, I have a lot of people who haven't done estate planning or reviewed their estate plan for 15 and 20 years. And so do you think that there's a gap in the lack of updating? And so discussing your document, discussing your wishes, discussing your lifetime care, or even how you want things to go when you pass away with the next generation. So creating a plan, but then educating the generation behind us with this is what I want is actually one of the biggest gaps in estate planning next to not having a plan at all. And so those are a couple very big issues that we deal with. And so in concentration of the gap between those two things, number one is that we need a plan. And then number two, once we have the plan, it's not intended just to go to the shelf. It can't just go up and say, I've done my good deed. This isn't about doing a good deed. This is about the actual preparation and of yourself and those that you love. Because we can't achieve a smooth transition if we have not educated and if we have not included those that we're going to leave behind. They must be ready.
Okay, very interesting discussion this week. Kind of a review of some of Paul Grant 101 and his approach to estate planning, tax planning. People are intrigued, Paul, and they are a part of that 50% who has no plan whatsoever. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts there. There's an opportunity to communicate a question or a concern that you have. And we always have upcoming seminars. As a matter of fact, I think our next one is going to be held at the end of October. We're just designing it, but that'll be coming up here pretty soon. And so head over there. We have educational sessions. We've got podcasts, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to encourage you to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We provide educational seminars designed to give you a starting point for your estate planning needs. We discuss things like what documents are needed in every estate plan, how do I protect the next generation, what are estate tax issues, and how do I plan for minor or special needs children. Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and discover a host of information, sign up for an educational class, or ask a question. That's at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week and special guest Barry Kinney in studio. Barry, you guys have actually worked together for 23 years.
Well, we haven't worked together. We've known each other. Yeah, okay. So we went to the same church, and we ended up creating a feeding program for the streets of Seattle that we got the church involved in. And that was really the impetus and starting point of our relationship.
Truly, truly, truly. And then meeting every week for coffee just to talk about life and what's going on.
So you know each other very well. You know
absolutely.
The kind of questions to ask Paul. Paul is just a fountain of information when it comes to estate.
Yeah, I've noticed you haven't asked a question yet here.
Well, it's hard for me to get a word in edgewise.
Well, that's true. I do like to talk. That's an accurate statement.
We like your information, and we've been talking about some of the basics of estate planning. We found out that most people don't have an estate plan, at least 50%. Now we're kind of going through some of the other things that we need to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's right. We want to kind of take today's session on I don't want to say it's a negative approach, but sometimes as humans, we respond to the what ifs, what if the worst case thing happens? And unfortunately, I watch this all the time because in my job, I help create plans, but then unfortunately, my clients actually die. And so then I have to assist the family in that transition. And we talked about a smooth transition is one of the largest goals that individuals walk into the office saying, that's what I want my estate plan to accomplish, is a smooth transition. So part of our discussion today is, well, what can interrupt a smooth transition? So we've talked about no plan. We've talked about lack of communication between the generations, between the creator versus the one who is receiving. And so what are some other things maybe that you guys are thinking about that could interrupt, destroy, and or just make an estate plan not work well?
Well, I hear a lot in talking with people that they don't think they have enough for an estate plan, and then they don't want to spend the money on it. They don't see the value of it because they don't think they actually have any wealth. And so that's really, I think, held people back that I've talked to.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I hear that often, is that people ask me, well, what do you do? And I tell them, well, I'm an estate planning attorney, but don't worry, I'm one of the nice attorneys. And so and that is a very, very common response. Oh, well, if I had anything, I'd actually come to you. But really what that misses is the most valuable asset that we have, which is ourselves, which is that we need to be ready to be taken care of if we need assistance during our lifetime at any time. Do you know it can cost substantially more to have to go to court during your lifetime because we have not taken the steps of creating an estate plan. Back in Michigan when I was an attorney there, right at the beginning of my practice, I had a client, and she was unable really to write her name anymore. She would sign her name, but then her son, who was living with her, would actually take care of her bills and write the checks and then say, Mom, this is what it's for. Please sign your name. And eventually she lost the dexterity to write her own name. So then he comes to me saying, I don't know what to do because I'm not on the accounts. I was only assisting my mom. I said, well, we have to go to court to get a guardianship then, and we'll ask the court to put you in charge. Well, as soon as we took that step, even though the son had lived with his mom for probably 6 to 8 years and had assisted her and cared for her during that time, as soon as we put forward a petition, of course, we have to let all the other siblings know. So guess what happens? Yeah, you got it. The siblings who are not even in the area, who knew nothing about mom, one of them had not even talked to mom. Not an exaggeration, had not even talked to mom in 10 years. Both of them come to the court. And this end up being a 3-month drag-out fight to where the state of Michigan, and I can't say that they were wrong, ended up saying, look, if the family can't figure it out, then the state of Michigan is going to step in and we're going to take control of everything. And we're going to put a guardian ad litem, a court assigned individual, who is going to take care of everything. That process cost over $20,000 by the time that we were done. And so,
is the reason the family came forward because she did have a lot of assets?
No, she didn't have a lot of assets, is the other thing. And so probably a little over $100,000. So there's 20% of the estate eaten up just because family can't get along and because mom never did estate plan. So I am telling you, you cannot afford to not do estate planning. And let me take this right out of the gate. Look, estate planning and good estate planning is what you need. You don't need a document. You need good estate planning, someone who's going to ask you proper questions, spend the requisite time to really understand you, your desires, and your family dynamics, and then create documents that are going to actually match up to be upheld during any of these potential conflicts. And I know, listeners, you only have families that are rosy, and so that's really good. But for those of you who don't, look, a good estate planning is going to cost between $2,000 and $10,000. I have no understanding of where the ideology that says, oh, this should be cheap and easy. There is nothing easy about estate planning. And so we all know in life that you get what you pay for. Stop the mentality that says this should be something that I go into an attorney's office, I'm out in 30 minutes with documents in hand. That is not a plan. That's a document. That will fail, and you will end up eating up more of your estate because of a cheap mentality. Sorry, I called you cheap if that's your mentality, but that's what it is. And so being frugal is great, but understand that there is a cost to get something done right, and the cost savings to the family down the road will far outweigh anything that you have to pay in order to get a strong, good estate plan that will take care of you during your lifetime and make sure that your highest goal of smooth transition will be realized.
But I already have a will. I've spent the money. I've met with people. I've gone online to x.com.
And, oh, you went online. Excellent.
and I created a will. I've already got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything I want right there.
Right. The average will isn't updated for almost 20 years. And so let me ask you guys, has anything in either of your gentlemen's life changed over the past 20 years? Have any family dynamics? They're looking at each other. You can't see that what I see. They're looking at each other, smiling, nodding. You have to be verbal in radio, y'all. And so, so the answer is absolutely.
You mean buying a house or having kids that have kids?
Yeah, right. Yeah, grandkids. Whether you have kids, have your finances changed? Has your house appreciated? Have you had different desires? Look, I'm 51 years old. My daughters are 21 and 22. So 10 years ago when I was 41 and they were 11 and 12, man, that seems a lifetime ago. But when they were 11 and 12, my values, because my girls were younger and because I was younger, were different, and how I viewed the world and them were very different than how I view the world now 10 years later, regardless of my profession. And so has there been anything over the past 10 years that has changed? Yes, just my perspective on life, my perspective of how well my daughters can handle finances, how well they take care of themselves, the core values of how much I want to leave or don't want to leave, how I need to take care of my spouse. We haven't even talked about spouses yet. And so, yes, a document that is, this is going to surprise a lot of people, but if you have documents, specifically powers of attorney, that are more than 3 years old, you are now behind the eight ball in whether or not your estate plan will work. We need to have documents that are constantly updated. And really what that says is you need a relationship with an estate planner, not just a document producer. You need to find an estate planner that has a relationship mentality that will have an updating program that reaches out to their clients. Matter of fact, ask your estate planner this before you engage. When's the last time that you've reached out to your clients and told them about a legal change or a tax change and invited them back to update their estate plan? What I have found out is that how many estate planning attorneys actually have a program like that, do you guys think?
I'm not aware of any except one.
Yep. Yeah. And you happen to work for the one.
True that.
And so, correct. I ask clients all the time, when's the last time you heard from the person who did these documents for you? And over and over and over, the only answer, I use my words very wisely, the only answer, except with one exception, has always been, I've never heard from the estate planner. So there's a gap again, which is, are our documents updated? And do you have a relationship with your estate planner? Any other thoughts as we kind of begin to wind down our show here?
Well, one question I had, maybe we can save this for the next show to flesh out more, but when we say estate plan, is that something that you put together as a couple, or do each individual have to have their own estate plan or their own will?
Yeah, very good question. And in a community property state like Washington, we tend to do things together, although there are instances when one person is ready to go forward. I would encourage that one partner to just go. Typically, what I've seen is that the other partner gets on board with the process. But typically, as married couples, we're doing them together instead of separately. And so we own property together. We have community property rights together. And so that needs to be flushed out. In almost every circumstance, there's rarities, but almost every circumstance, it's a together thing. Mm-hmm. So I hope that this conversation has been useful to the listeners. It's been a review of some things that we've talked about in the past. You can always go back to our website at legacyandfaith.com. We have all of our old or past podcasts available. There's opportunities of educational seminars coming up. We'd love to get to know you. Please go to our website, sign up for the ones that are coming up. They constantly change. And so communicate with us. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to find out who you are. And we'd love to be able to step in and fill that gap of your estate plan. We want to make sure that you have an estate plan that will actually accomplish what you envision. And we can't do that until we get together and actually start the process. Reach out to us. Go to legacyandfaith.com. And this is Paul Grant with Mark and with Barry. And thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining in the conversation today.
Thanks, guys.
The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.